This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Jessica Rosenthal. This week we spoke to two candidates for Senate in Utah. The Fox News power rankings have Republican Senator Mike Lee's seat as likely Republican, but his challenger is not a Democrat, but rather an independent. Former CIA officer Evan McMullen is no stranger to politics either. He ran for president as an independent as well in 2016. While he bets his message is more unifying, the incumbent Lee has put McMullen on defense over support from Democrats, while McMullen says Lee is too partisan and contributing to political division in the country. The question is, will Utah voters gamble on a candidate who's pledging not to caucus with either party? We often have to cut interviews down for time during the week, but thought you might like to hear these full interviews. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the Weekday Rundown podcast if you haven't already. Now, up first is Utah Senator Mike Lee on the Fox News Rundown Extra. The Fox News power rankings have this seat as likely Republican. There hasn't been a ton of recent public polling, if I'm correct, but a survey done in early October had you up 5 points. What is the, I guess, the final pitch here to anyone who may be on the fence at this stage of the game in Utah?
Look, we've got two candidates who are in contention for this. Got one, me. I'm a Republican. The voters of Utah know where I stand. They know where I fight. They know I fight for freedom. I fight for the Constitution. I'll stand up for their rights and for the aggressive overspending by the Biden administration and the Democratic rubber stamp Congress that he has. That inflation-causing spending is really making life difficult for Utahns. Utahns have been hit especially hard by Biden's inflation. They're currently spending $949 a month, every month, more for their basic monthly necessities relative to the day Joe Biden took office. This is not something the people of Utah want. It's not something they benefit from. And the best way to bring that under control is to make sure that the United States Senate is under Republican majority control next year. My opponent has been endorsed by the Democratic Party. He actively courted that endorsement and convinced the Democratic Party not to run a candidate and to get behind him instead. He's backed Democratic policies. He voted for Joe Biden. He campaigned for Joe Biden. He'd be a predictable, reliable source of support for the Biden administration and the Democrats in the Senate. Notwithstanding the fact that he's pledged not to caucus with either party, we all know that when you raise $3.5 million on Act Blue, you adopt Democratic policies, you spend $2 million or more on Democratic consultants who serve only Democratic clients, you know that that's not a Republican. That's not someone who's going to go to Washington, D.C., to serve as part of the resistance against Biden's inflationary spending. So the choice is pretty clear. If you want more of Joe Biden's inflationary spending, you should vote for my opponent. If you've had enough of that, I'm your only choice.
Yeah, some of the media narrative has been to point out that that McMullen does agree with you on certain things. Like he says he's pro-life. He blames Democrats for inflation and this administration for spending contributing to inflation. You just highlighted what you think are obviously some critical differences here. But what would you say is the most important difference between you two if there are some voters who maybe look at the independent next to your opponent's name and wonder?
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. The independent next to his name, what exactly does that mean? Look at what he has said about the Republican Party since leaving it just a few years ago. This is not someone who has lingering sympathies toward the Republican Party or what it stands for. He's called the Republican Party all sorts of horrible things. In fact, it's important to remember that on January 3rd, 2021, my opponent issued a tweet saying on Tuesday, principled conservatives in Georgia should vote Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue out of office. These, of course, were my two Republican colleagues in the Senate. Right. And then he goes on to say, quote, with few exceptions, the GOP has become a ruinous, unpatriotic blight, and both senators are corrupt as they come. The Republic cannot sustain such depravity indefinitely. This is not someone who shares the views of the Republican Party. And yeah, you've pointed out that he has continued to call himself pro-life. But what does that mean? You know, back in 2016, when he ran for president, he called himself aggressively pro-life and determined to protecting unborn human life, and that he wanted to see Roe versus Wade overturned. Earlier this year, he went on MSNBC and said that he was opposed to seeing Roe versus Wade overturned. Although he continues to call himself pro-life, he's redefined pro-life to mean something else. I think on MSNBC, he said he thinks being pro-life means that you support more social programs and that that qualifies him somehow as being pro-life. I don't think that means what he thinks it means.
Now, you just pointed out that he said he wouldn't caucus with either party. I know Utah has an independent streak, and it's a mountain state, and I'm very familiar with that independent mountain spirit. And maybe some independent-minded folks might like that, but others generally want to know, you know, where you stand, right? Do you think that Utah voters prefer the security of knowing, you know, where you're going to stand, where you're going to vote, which party you largely fall with? Or do you think that there are enough Utah voters that might like that sort of independence and what that might mean for power in the Senate in such an evenly divided Senate?
Utahns understandably like independence ending in ENCE. and they have that with me. I've reflected a lot of independence. I don't always vote with my party. I frequently depart from where many Republicans do vote. What they don't like, what they don't want, is someone who claims to be an independent, but is really a shadow Democrat, embraced by the Democratic Party, endorsed by the Democratic Party, funded by the Democratic Party, and all based on a change of heart that he's had in the last few years about his policy views. So I don't regard him as an independent. I regard him as someone who has adopted almost lock, stock, and barrel the precepts of the Democratic Party. As for whether he would remain unaffiliated with either caucus, Republican or Democratic, in the Senate, if he were elected, well, no one knows for sure. I can make a pretty good guess as to how this turns out. And let me tell you why. For the last 177 years, since something that was known as the Agreement of 1845, committee assignments in the Senate have been allocated according to caucuses. The two major parties have a negotiation process that takes place after every election. And in that negotiation process, they decide how many from each caucus or those affiliating with each caucus, how many committee assignments they'll get and to what committees. For the last 177 years, you haven't really been able to get committee assignments except through that same process. And so if he wants to go to Washington and be completely ineffective, then he could go and refuse to receive his committee assignments through either caucus. I don't think that's realistic. I think he'd end up caucusing. And given the things that he said about the Republican Party and the things that he's embraced from the Democratic Party, we all know where that ends. He'll end up caucusing. We've got two independents right now in the United States Senate. They both caucus with and receive their committee assignments from the Democrats. It's not going to be any different with Evan McMullen if he's elected.
Senator, I know because you're a sitting senator, you've a lot on your plate, but I know you're also campaigning. I know it's a tricky balancing act, but what do you hear from voters most about, whether it's calls to your office or when you're out on the trail? Is it about inflation or is it about other issues as well pertaining specifically to Utah?
There are three issues that I hear most about from Utahns that are Utah issues specifically. The first is inflation, and the second is inflation, and so was the third. It is for a variety of reasons, some simple, others complicated. Utah's been hit especially hard by inflation. When you measure it according to monthly household expenditures and how much they've increased since January 20, 2021, we've been harder hit than any other state at $949 a month. That inflation rate as compared to January 20, 2021 in Utah is 16%. Look, Utah families can't afford that. Very few families can. I mean, this is almost $1,000 a month that people are having to shell out. They're not getting anything new for it. There are no luxury items being purchased here. This is just the same amount of money that they have to spend in order to live from one month to the next. So yeah, while there are other issues, inflation eclipses every other one of them. And this inflation, make no mistake, is the predictable, foreseeable, and in fact, foreseen and by me warned of result of Biden's aggressive deficit spending. You know, we last year, the federal government brought in record-breaking revenue, over $4 trillion. But we spent nearly $7 trillion. This is a result of Biden's reckless spending. And, you know, Milton Friedman was asked during our last period of major nationwide inflation. Someone asked him, what's causing all this? And there was speculation at the time. They said, is it international trade? Is it speculative investing? What is it? And he said, no, in the United States of America, inflation has exactly one cause, and it's overspending by Congress.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
I have a January 6th related question for you. I know it's come up between you guys at the debate. He criticized, Mr. McMullen criticized your communications with the White House after January 6th, but you reminded him that you did vote to certify the results in Arizona and Pennsylvania, and you said he owes you an apology. I want to ask about this because we see in some of our own Fox polling, elections-related issues, protecting democracy, they rank high, not as high as inflation, as you note, but certainly some things surrounding voting and elections matter to a certain extent. Have you heard about anything regarding election integrity on the campaign trail?
Mostly what I hear about is people wondering whether their vote is going to be counted, whether it's going to be a fair election. And my response is always the same, which is, you know, in any system that has an election, you always need to take steps to protect against election fraud. Because as long as human beings are involved, if you don't have safety and security measures in place, you have to assume that someone somewhere along the way might try to cheat the system. And that's doubly harmful. You don't want any fraud to get in. You don't want it to affect the outcome substantively. And you also don't want to create even the perception that, that it's unreliable. And that's why it's so important that each state update, modernize, and otherwise modify as necessary its own election laws and its own election protocols to make sure that they're staying a step ahead of the game as far as any possible fraud.
Do you feel good about Utah's system? I remember before the when the pandemic happened, we were referencing Utah a lot because mail-in voting has been a thing there for years now, and it's I think the primary way people vote.
Yes, it is, and we're better at it in Utah than most states are. It doesn't mean it's that we're immune from any need to be concerned about efforts to manipulate it, but I think relative to other states, we handle it really well. And so that's the key, is you've got to keep each state apprised of any potential threats to election security and legitimacy, and make changes every couple of years to make sure that you're making it harder rather than easier for people to game the system. But this is key to it. And this is another key distinction between me and my opponent, Devin McMullen. I believe, as the Constitution already requires, that elections are best handled by states, not by the federal government. It's imperative that we keep this distinction, because if you ever consolidate it in one power, in one government in Washington, D.C., the risk of abuse and fraud, the risk of bad things happening becomes exponentially greater. My opponent has expressed support for a bill called S1, legislation introduced by the Democrats in the Senate that would strip most of the authority away from the states, or at least make them subservient to federal authority, restricting the states in their ability to adopt additional voting integrity measures, voter ID and things like that. It would effectively lead to the automatic voter registration of millions of illegal aliens. It would immunize anyone knowingly registering an illegal alien to vote. It would severely erode the authority of the states to make legislative districting decisions through their state legislatures, as has been the norm and is the standard under our Constitution. He said that he would support that, and even that he would recognize an exception to the filibuster to pass it. This is very dangerous business. And if there's one thing that could undermine election security and the perception of such, it's that.
Interesting. Finally, let's say Republicans take the Senate here. Not enough to break the filibuster, but still a majority. You are on some pretty significant committees, if I'm correct, right now. Judiciary, Energy and Natural Resources, Joint Economic, Commerce, Science and Transportation. I don't know how you find the time. What do you do in the majority with that committee power? Like, what's your first focus?
Okay, so the very first thing that I think we need to focus on once we get that is making sure that we stop the reckless spending that's causing so much inflation. And I think we'll be in a good position to do that. The president of the United States can't appropriate money on his own, much as presidents of both parties have long wished otherwise without us. And if we're holding the majority in both houses, we're holding the purse strings, and we can bring that stuff to a stop. There's also a lot we can do on the Senate side in terms of presidential nominations to the federal judiciary. And I sit on the Judiciary Committee, and to executive branch positions where we can be a check and a balance to the president. The advice and consent function becomes much more significant with this president if you put a Republican majority in charge. There's also a lot we can do in terms of investigations and oversight. There's a lot we need to know about what on earth happened with our crisis along the southern border, opening up the floodgates to hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants, to enough fentanyl crossing along those borders to kill literally millions of Americans, producing a massive humanitarian and rule of law crisis. We need some answers to questions about President Biden's botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. We need questions answered with regard to COVID policy. Anthony Fauci is going to have a lot to answer for when Rand Paul becomes the chairman of the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee here in a few months. So it's just the beginning of the list. There's a lot we can do. Obviously, as you point out, it won't give us a veto-proof supermajority. It won't put us in charge at the White House, but it can help us bring some accountability and counterbalance to the White House.
Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
We also spoke with Senator Lee's challenger, Evan McMullen, who, as we said earlier, is running as an independent candidate.
Obviously, we've seen the debate and we've read the articles, but if there was one difference you really wanted to highlight between you and Senator Lee, what do you want potential constituents to hear?
I think there are two things. The first thing is that I swore an oath to the Constitution when I was a young CIA officer after 9/11, and I still am committed to that oath to defend and uphold the Constitution. My opponent, Senator Lee, took a similar oath, if not the same oath, when he became a senator. And I believe he's betrayed that oath. So when he tried to recruit alternative electors to overturn the will of the people in the last election cycle, it was a betrayal of the Constitution, and we simply cannot tolerate that. You know, I'm an independent conservative who believes that above all else, we must conserve our commitment to that founding document, to the Constitution. And that's one of our main differences, Senator Lee and me. The other thing I would say is that I am committed to working across party lines to solve problems. Now, Washington is broken. Our politics are broken. And we need leaders who are going to work across the divide to get things done. We got to lower inflation, lower health care costs. Here in Utah, we have severe air and water issues, lack of water, air quality problems. You know, we've got to come together as a country to solve these challenges and overcome them. And the only way we can do it is to work together. Senator Lee refuses to work across party lines to get things done, and we're suffering as a result, and I'm just not going to take the same approach.
You've said, though, that you were a conservative your whole life, but you are running with that I next to your name, the independent label. So then where do you feel your biggest, I guess, agreements are or disagreements are with the current Republican Party?
Well, what I'm concerned about is just the rise of extremes on both ends of the political spectrum, and I think they've gained too much influence in both parties, frankly. And I think they're tearing our country apart. Most Americans, whether they're Republicans or Democrats or conservatives or liberals, you know, they have far more in common than they do in difference. And we're led to believe otherwise, of course, by leaders who try to divide us. But the reality is most of us are common sense people. We want to do things that will keep our country strong and maintain a strong economy, a strong national defense. You know, we want, you know, to have equal opportunity. Most Americans can agree to all of that. And yet we're told that the other side is the enemy. And so I've got differences on both sides of the political aisle. But I'll tell you what I'm most concerned with is ensuring that our system of self-government, our democratic republic, remains healthy and a healthy system in which people hold the power, not leaders, not special interest groups, not party bosses, but people. That's why I'm running as an independent. I'm also concerned with inflation and our spending, which is out of control. Both parties are responsible for overspending and adding to our $31-plus trillion national debt. And we've got to have people who are going to work together to get our fiscal house in order. Also, I'm committed to lowering healthcare costs. You know, we pay more for healthcare in America than almost anyone else in the world. It's because our leaders won't stand up to special interest groups. I will do that. And also, I just think we've got to be more serious about protecting our air and water because at least here in Utah, we're really suffering as a result of our failures to do that. And, you know, frankly, both parties have failed to live up to our responsibility of stewardship for the environment. And I take that very seriously.
Yeah, I think that water fight around the Colorado River and all the southwestern states is only just really beginning. You told our own Brett Baer on Special Report you wouldn't caucus with the Democrats. And you also clarified, I found this interesting, that you would still receive committee assignments, that's a requirement. It's a close race, obviously, even if Mike Lee is ahead in a lot of the polling. But what have you heard from Utahns about this? Like, I imagine if they come up to you, if they bother to come up to you or engage with you, they're probably happy that you're running as an independent. But do you hear skepticism about sort of what your role could be or would be in the Senate without party to caucus?
Well, I'm running as an independent so that I can build a coalition of Republicans, Democrats, and independents to replace Mike Lee and stand up to our broken politics. And, you know, last time Senator Lee won re-election by over 40 points, and now many of the polls have us within the margin of error. And so it's a tight race because we've been able to build this coalition. And then the question is, yes, you know, how will you operate in the Senate? It's a Senate rule, Senate Rule 25, that all senators have committee assignments, and there has never been anyone elected to the Senate as an independent since at least World War II. I couldn't find data before that, but since at least World War II, every independent elected to the chamber, even the true independents who don't caucus with either side, have received committee assignments. I know I will receive them, but the bigger issue is this. The Senate's very divided now. It will be very divided after this election. And the senators who are willing to act with greater independence and to stand up to party bosses on both sides have the most influence in the chamber. And I think they're the most influential people, frankly, in Washington, second to the president. I want that for Utah. We hear a lot about West Virginia and how, you know, what does West Virginia think? But I think Utah has an opportunity to help lead the country forward. And if we win, it'll make Utah, I think, one of the most influential states in the union.
Your opponent, though, says he's, and you know this, he's accused you of basically being a Democrat, saying you've received funding from Democrats, the state Democratic Party's thrown its support behind you. I imagine that it might be in part because they don't feel they have somebody else to throw their support behind necessarily. But what do you say to those who do question, you know, where you're getting maybe some funding or where you're getting some support and how that paints you?
Yeah, well, I'm raising money from Republicans and Democrats and independents and libertarians, and I'm proud of that, frankly. I'm proud of the fact that we've been able to bring people together. Senator Lee says that all my money comes from Democrats and Democratic platforms. It's just not true. We do raise money on both Republicans and Democratic platforms because that's where our donors are. That's where our supporters make their donations. And I'm proud of the fact that we have the support of people from different parties. And where else in American politics are people coming together to keep America strong and to solve problems? And we're doing that and here in Utah, and I'm very proud of that. And Senator Lee wants everyone to believe that I'm a Democrat because he knows that if I'm a Democrat, then he can win this race. But he's afraid of running against a true independent conservative who actually is committed to the Constitution, and he's, you know, he wishes he were running against a Democrat, but he's just not. I've been a lifelong independent conservative, and I'm still that, and will always be that. And Senator Lee is threatened by that, and by our coalition of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents.
I have a few more for you. Let's say you get to the Senate. We've heard Republicans talk about curbing spending. And tying that curbing of spending to the debt limit, we've definitely heard that from the House, you know, in terms of maybe not raising the debt limit anymore. I know you've said, as you just did, you do blame Democrats and the Biden administration in part for spending contributing to inflation. So what do you do on that spending front? And what do you think of this talk of the debt limit?
Well, yeah, I think the Biden administration deserves a lot of blame for expanding and growing the national debt and also inflation. I mean, the administration was warned by both Republican and Democratic economists not to move forward with the $1.9 trillion aid package during the pandemic. And they ignored the experts and they did it anyway. And as a result of that and other factors, we've got sky high inflation. But Republicans also sadly added to the national debt during the Trump presidency. And so this is really not a partisan issue. It's something that we all have to come together on as a country and respond to. And frankly, the only times in modern history when we have gotten our spending under control is when Republicans and Democrats have worked together. It hasn't happened any other way. And that these are tough conversations. I'm of the opinion that, you know, we should not default on our debt because I think it would cause even more economic instability and turmoil in our country. And so, you know, debating this at the time of managing the debt ceiling, I think, is not the right time. But I do think we have to get more serious. And I've articulated a plan and ways that we can get our spending under control. But the time to do it is not waiting until we have a debt ceiling limit. It's about making a serious effort to get our spending under control long before that point. If we avoid unnecessary wars, if we stand up to the special interest groups like Big Pharma that cause us to pay far more for health care than we need to, and if we make other reforms like those, we can get our spending under control and not mortgage, you know, future generations of Americans, their prosperity, so that we can have an easier way. I mean, we've got to think about what we're doing to our children and our grandchildren as we overspend and borrow more money from China and add it to the national debt.
Many of us associate Utah with being a more religious state. And so I must ask, you know, we've heard you say that you're pro-life. What does that mean to you as far as abortion is concerned?
Yeah, I've always believed in the sanctity of life and consider myself pro-life. I am deeply concerned about this issue, and it continues to divide the nation in a way that I don't think is necessary. I mean, there are a lot of differences, even in our coalition of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents on this issue. But one thing we agree on is that there is a more constructive way forward. Most Americans like me think the extremes on this issue on both sides have it wrong. You know, people who think there should be no limits on abortions, and then on the other side, people who think that there shouldn't be any exceptions. I just don't think that's right. You know, forcing a 10-year-old rape victim or any rape victim to carry a pregnancy to term isn't right. Allowing unlimited abortions on demand in the late trimester, you know, is wrong as well. But what we agree on is that if we make contraception more available and do more to support women, children, and families, and impart the right values to our youth, we can make the abortion rate in America decline. And in fact, it's worked in the past. We can lower the abortion rate in America by actually addressing the underlying issue, which is unwanted pregnancies and women finding themselves in impossible situations. And so that's what I'm committed to, is a more constructive way forward.
Do you have would you back any sort of federal legislation on that front?
Well, you know, I haven't seen any serious legislation in the Senate on this issue. You know, we've seen messaging bills and bills that I think are intended to divide Americans further on the issue. A lot of politicians, a lot of leaders exploit the abortion issue to raise money and, you know, stay in power, et cetera. I refuse to play that game. Any bill in the Senate that has the potential to have support of both Republicans and Democrats and therefore have a chance of passing, you know, I'll take a really good look at it. But I do still think that the way forward on this issue that most Americans and most Utahns can support is, again, making contraception more available and doing more to support women, children, and families. That is what will lower the abortion rate in America. And thankfully, most of us, not the extremes maybe, but most of us can agree to that.
Finally, you wrote on Twitter this week, Mitch McConnell should not be majority leader or minority leader. Whom would you prefer? And what has Senator McConnell done that you take specific issue with, if anything at all?
Well, I just think we've got to have leaders who are capable of uniting people. We are so divided in our country right now. I mean, I think we're more divided than we've been since World War, or not since World War II, rather, but since the Civil War. Yeah, we are at a point now where political violence is on the rise, where we think the other side is the enemy, where we try to prevent the other side from voting, and we try to mislead the other side with lies about each other, and we're spinning out of control now. And I'm deeply concerned about that. I've seen this in other countries, and it doesn't end well. And we've just got to take another approach. And I think that means that, you know, we need leaders on both sides of the aisle who are more committed to solving problems and bringing people together than just sort of advancing party interests. And I just don't see that in party leadership on either side of the aisle, which is why I'm refusing to support either party's leadership, frankly. I mean, I'm committed to representing Utah and the people of Utah, not party bosses of either side.
One more, if I may, you know, more of a philosophical question maybe, but, you know, most people fancy themselves or consider themselves independent, right? Many of us think of ourselves as being independent and not in love with either party. Of course, we do still see, of course, people voting along party lines in many ways, but I'm sure you, and I know for me, I've met many people who say that they feel more independent. If you don't win, what do you think that will mean? Will it be specific to just Utah voters? Will it just be specific to your campaign? What will you do with your sort of independent status and your campaign status? Will you run for office again, or will you try and start something new based on being an independent?
Well, I haven't had much of an opportunity to give what happens after this race. We've been very focused on it. I know you'd expect me to give that answer. I don't know. But what I will say is that we have built something new and important here in Utah. We've brought people together. We've found common ground. We do it by focusing on our founding ideals that were created free and equal. And our deepest purpose is the pursuit of happiness. And that's why we have a system of self-government in which our leaders are accountable to us, not the other way around. We've built this amazing coalition of Utahns from across the political spectrum by focusing on those founding ideals. I think that in order to strengthen America going forward, we're going to have to build this coalition all over the country. And so in one form or another, whether elected or not, I will be a part of that effort, because if we continue to be as divided as we are, we're going to come apart as a country. I think most of us feel that now. It's happening. So we've got to offer ourselves an alternative to the politics of division and extremism, because they've broken Washington, and we can't let them break the rest of the country. So we'll see what shape that takes, but I'm committed to this path for the country. I believe it is the answer. We have to find a different way forward politically, unless we want more hardship, more problems that we just don't overcome, more political violence. I mean, none of us want that, I think, or not most of us. So let's find a way to work together to solve problems and end this terrible period of such great political division and extremism.
Utah Independent Senate candidate Evan McMullen, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.